Well, that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about what drives us, or what is it that motivates us? What is it that makes you get up in the morning? You know, and what is it about you that you have that will make you do what you do? See, I firmly believe that each one of us need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to keep ourselves motivated, especially in the kingdom of God, but in other things. You know, they say and I really believe it's true that a body in motion stays in motion, a body at rest stays at rest. Well, what's that mean? Well, that means if you don't get yourself motivated, if you don't drive yourself to make use out of your time, then you end up wasting your time. Amen. See, here's the thing. You can't ever get time back. Once you waste a day, you lost a day. Now, I understand there's those days that we want to just waste. We want to just kick back, not do nothing. But time is the thing that you have that's the most valuable commodity that you have. Right? Come on now. You don't get paid to work. You get paid for your time at work. Right? Because you work at home and you don't get paid for that, right? Come on now, some of you guys are awful quiet this morning. Time is what you get paid for. You're on a time clock. You have to be there at a certain time and you get off at a certain time. But also in our personal lives, we also have to evaluate what is it I'm pursuing? What is it I want to achieve? What is it that's driving me to do what I do? And so we just want to kind of look at some of those things. And the first thing I want us to look at about what is it that's driving us, and I want to ask us about this, is social status something that drives us? You know, for a lot of people, especially now with the new social medias and all this stuff, a lot of folks, they really, and you know, you can say, well, it doesn't bother me any, but you know, the truth is, if you leave your phone at home, you're probably going to turn around and go back and get it. Because now you're involved in this social deal to where, you know, my time growing up, you know, I mean, if we broke down somewhere, we had to walk, knock on somebody's door or something like that because we didn't have the phones carrying them around with us. Come on now. But you see, that was for emergencies. That was for that kind of thing. But you know, now a lot of people, they don't want to be out of the circuit. They don't want to be out of the loop. They're afraid somebody might post something and they don't get to see it. It's about social status. And so people are driven by social status. They think that a social status is going to help them in some way. And if they think that if I'm big socially, that's going to make me somebody. But, you know, really having power over people is something that a lot of folks want social status for. Let me show you over here. Acts chapter 8, if you would, go with me over there. And let's read over a very familiar story. It's about Philip when he went down and had a great revival. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." You see, that's what God wants now. God wants to see signs, wonders, and miracles through us. He wants to do them. And it'll bring joy. Folks will come just for signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. To be healed. See, here's the thing, folks. If we're not producing what God has placed in us, He has given us the power to accomplish anything that we can set our hearts to, because if you can believe, nothing's impossible to them that believes. Amen. So here's the thing. We have to make sure that we have ourselves to the place where the gifts are working through us. You see, gifts are not going to work through us if we're a body at rest. Amen. Come on now. See, if we don't motivate ourselves to seek after the gifts, to seek after the gift giver, to seek after the things of God so that God can use us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just come to church and just sit around. Amen. I want to come to church and see God do mighty things in people's lives. I want to come to church and see God save people, God heal people, God give people miracles. Don't you? Well, you see, we have to have our part in that, because I like it. Rod Parsley, I guess, said it a long time ago, but the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. In other words, if I don't come expecting anything, I won't get anything. But if I come expecting something, I can get something. Amen. So we have to understand that you and I have to make sure that we're having ourselves in the attitude, the mindset, the faith, and believing God before we ever get here, that God's going to show up and do mighty things. And notice here, it brought great joy to the whole city because God was working in the midst. Now, let's read on just a little bit. It says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one." Now listen, "to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because of a long time he bewitched them with sorceries." Notice here that the devil will try his best to give somebody social status so that people will follow after them. Amen. It's going on in this country. It's going on in our county. It's going on in our cities. Amen. People that are not of God, that have risen up to certain statuses, and people have, you know, they look up to them, even though they're not godly. See, here's the thing. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." See, so you need to be careful about who it is on your status that you hold up there high. Who is it that you respect? Who is it that you hold in high esteem? Make sure they're of God. Amen. You see, you're children of God, and so that's people that you need to esteem. People that are not of God are apt to do anything. Amen. And you can say what you think about it, but it's true. But why? Well, because they have the devil as their leader. Come on, he's the liar and the father of lies. So here, Simon the sorcerer, he's bewitched people. He's using sorcery to make them think he has the great power of God. Now, he knows better, but the people don't know better. Amen. You see, that happens all the time. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Pastor John talks about over in Haiti how there was a voodoo witch doctor there that had his place fixed up, and people were afraid, and you know, the witch doctors over there would bring stuff and put out in the road, and the people were afraid to cross, they would come down the road because that was out in the road. They wouldn't move it, they wouldn't touch it, they're afraid to make them be cursed. So Pastor John, when he'd come up on one of them, he'd walk out there, stomp on it, spit on it, throw it out of the road, go right on down the road. Because he wanted the people to see that there was no power in that because it was of the devil. And this voodoo priest, he was in a community there, and the people were just terrified of him. He had his house and all this stuff. And so Pastor John just went over and he said, "I'm going to go check this dude out." So he goes over and he tells him, he said, "I want to come in and check out your place." And that voodoo doctor said, "You can't come in here. If you come in here, you'll die." He said, "I'm not going to die." He said, "Oh yeah, you'll die." And he said, "Well, let's go." And he walked in there and he didn't die. And he looked around and he saw all the witch doctor stuff that he had. And over there was a little small baby casket, you know, of course, to touch people's hearts, you know. And there's a baby casket. Children touch everybody's heart. And here's this baby casket. He said, "What's that for?" He said, "Oh," he said, "that's sacred." He said, "If you touch that, you'll die." Pastor John just walked over and put his hand on there. And he said, "I didn't die." And he said, "Oh," he said, "yeah, you're going to die." He looked at him, and he looked at the witch doctor and said, "Why are you doing this to these people? Why are you trying to put them in fear and using the devil to do it?" And that witch doctor said, "I make a lot of money doing this." Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. They would do anything to have power over the people. And that's what Simon the sorcerer's done. He's using sorcery to make the people think he's somebody great. Notice that he was reverenced from the littlest to the oldest. Even the children recognized him and knew who he was. Social status, but the wrong kind of social status, you see. Now let's read on just a little bit here. It says then that it was that verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. See, now he knows this is God. This is not something cooked up or fake. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, you ought to be driven once you're born again to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, we're not seeing enough people that are interested anymore. They're not hungry anymore for the things of God. They want to just get saved. As long as I'm going to heaven, that's all I want. But I'm going to tell you something. Getting saved is just the beginning. Come on, a lot of folks think that's it, but that's not it. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive your prayer language and let the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate through you. But that's something you have to be driven to do. You have to have a desire for that. And it's sad to say that a lot of the church has no desire for anything other than just to come to church. They don't want to get involved in church. They don't want to be troubled with church. All they want to do is just come and sit and go home. Well, I mean, thank God that's what you want to do at least that much. But listen, there is so much more that God wants to use you for, because actually the church is supposed to be operating out there, not in here. Here's where we come to get filled up. Out there's where we go to empty out. You're going to meet a whole lot more people out there that need Jesus in their life than what you are in here. Now, you know, I say that because most of us that come here have Jesus in our life. But out there, there's a lost and dying world that need Jesus, that need healing, that need joy, that need people to lay hands on them, people to show them the love of God. It's out there. And so we have to make sure that we're doing what we should do. We should be wanting to get filled with the Spirit so that we can go ahead and do the things of God. Now, verse 16 says, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost.'" Now notice, Simon, even though he's saved, he still got the wrong mindset. He still got the wrong attitude. He still letting the world drive him more than he's letting the Spirit of God drive him. So he asked him, once he sees this, he's thinking, if I can buy this gift, then once again I'll have power over the people. So Peter says then, verse 20, "But Peter said to him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' Then answered Simon and said, 'Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you've spoken come upon me.'" See, here's the thing, folks. Just having power over people does not make you really in a place of social status. Now, you may have power, but it don't bring respect. Respect must be earned. Amen. There are folks that may respect an office, but not necessarily respect a person. Amen. Come on. See, you have to understand that social status or having a particular status doesn't make you somebody. What makes you somebody is being in the kingdom of God, being a child of God. Amen. And in this world, it just keeps pushing. It wants to try to showcase people and make people be something. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, without me, you're nothing. Let me show you another story over here in Mark chapter 10. Look over here with me. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said to them, ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said to him, we can. And Jesus said to them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. You see, a position that is gotten, that's not earned or deserved, is a position of dishonor. You see, here they want Jesus to put them in this position, but he says, you know, it's not mine to give. In other words, God is the one that's going to put yourself in that position. When you seek after God, the Bible says he's the one that lifts up and the one that takes down. He's the one that exalts. See, here's the thing with a lot of folks. A lot of folks may find a way to achieve position in society or wherever, but they don't have the integrity and the morals to keep them in that place. Amen. You see it happen a lot of times. You see. I mean, we have folks and we've watched time and time, and everybody seems to want, you know, I want to be a famous country music singer. I want to be a famous rock and roll singer. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to, you know, be the best in sports. They have all these aspirations and it drives them to try to make themselves a position in society. But then they get there and they're not able to stay there because they don't have the integrity to keep themselves there. Amen. A lot of times they let the money go to their head or whatever it is, but they lose out because they don't have the integrity to maintain what they had strived for. In ministry, I've heard a lot of times that people say this, and it holds to be true, that your anointing, God will anoint you, and your anointing sometimes will bring you to a place, but then when you don't have the integrity and the morality, you can't stay there because you'll mess up and fall from that place. Wouldn't be God's fault because God anointed you and brought you to that place. But you cause it. We're our own worst enemy when it comes to our statuses and how we're living our lives. We're the ones that maintain excellence or allow ourselves to slip. We're the ones that make the decision not to do things that we shouldn't do and to do things that we should do. It's up to us. And so maintaining the social status is not necessarily the thing that should drive us. Now, don't get me wrong. We shouldn't have this, you know, I'm not a nobody attitude, because you are somebody in Christ Jesus. You're a son and daughter of God. But don't let what somebody else is doing or how they act or how they do what they do, don't let that drive you. Some folks couldn't live if they didn't have Facebook. They brought themselves to that place. They just wouldn't know what to do with themselves anymore. Right? Come on now. It's just kind of the way it is. Just be honest with yourself. Some of you would have a hard time using the bathroom if you didn't have your phone. Come on, you know it's true. Come on. You see, that's how we've got adapted into this thing. You know, we've been pulled in, and we have to be careful that doesn't get a hold of us. Now, something else that drives folks, you know, is money. Money drives folks. Now, when we start looking at money, I want to jump over here and grab a scripture over in Acts chapter 19 over here. And we're going to read about Demetrius, Acts chapter 19, verse 23. It says, in the same time, there arose no small stir about that way, talking about the way of God, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now, Diana was a god that they had made by hand, and so people looked up to her. whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of Ephesus." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into theater. And when Paul would have entered in to the people, the disciples suffered him not. And so here's what I'm trying to bring out of this. Paul's here, he's preaching, and you have these people that are worshiping this goddess. And now Paul's telling them, listen, these gods that are made by hands, they're not the real God. I'm going to tell you about the real God. He tells them about the real God. People start believing. People start getting saved. And now Demetrius, who makes these silver shrines of the goddess, Diana, he's now in danger of losing his job. And because he's in danger of losing his job, he goes after Paul. He really wants to set Paul up. And, of course, they stop Paul from going in because he would like to kill Paul and stop him. Notice he says, this is how we get our wealth. You know, it's sad that you know, a lot of people are so money-driven that they'll give up the gospel for it. Amen. There are so many people that would rather have money as to have God. They'd give up the gospel for money. Matter of fact, sometimes people will make a decision to leave church so that they can work a job that makes more money. Amen. There are churches that'll change the gospel for money. I promise you, I could change the way I preach and we wouldn't have room for anybody to be sitting in here today. All I got to do is just preach what tickles people's ears. Because that's what people want to hear. People want to hear that I can do whatever I want to and I'm all right. People want to hear I don't have to go to church. I don't need to go to church. Once I got saved, I'm always saved. I can't ever do anything that's going to keep me from out of heaven. Come on. People want to hear it's okay for us to live together. After all, you know, we're married in God's eyes. Come on. People want to hear it's okay to be homosexual. It's real quiet. Come on, listen. Churches are changing the way they preach because of money. They want to get a crowd. When they get a crowd, they get money. Amen. You see, and so you could change that, but you see, then I'd have to face God. I have to preach what the Word says. I still love people, but I have to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. I'm going to preach the truth to you because I love you. Money does not influence me. Amen. I've been tried. It doesn't influence me. Amen. It's a lot of people it influences. Again, one of my, I guess you would call him my spiritual fathers, was a prophet, Emmett Spencer. And he said that he had always been told that, and he told me that. He said, you stay away from the gold and the glory and the girls. The three G's. Amen. What was that? Money, right? You don't take credit. The glory, you don't take the credit for nothing God does because He's the one doing it. And you have to be careful, you know, out here publicly. Amen. See, a lot of folks, we've been talked about, always have, you know, always have we been talked about because we've always had a ministry of excellence. You know, I've always had somebody that walks with me in the sanctuary and all that. I don't counsel anybody, a woman, without my wife being there or somebody being there and never by myself, you know. We make sure that we guard against the things that the enemy can come in at, you see. And people have talked about us. Oh, he's got a bodyguard. No, I don't have a bodyguard. I got a witness. I got somebody there that if somebody comes, a lady walks up and starts talking to me, I got somebody there to hear the story. Come on now. You see, because it's real easy for somebody to bring an accusation. You know, I could be walking around up here and some woman walk up and say, "How you doing today, Pastor?" And then walk back and say, "You know what? He just made a hit on me." And you know what? People would believe that more than they would that she came up and said, "How you doing today?" Because that's what people like to believe. Come on now. So that's one of the reasons that we do those things. It's important to understand that. So we always be careful and understand that I don't touch the money. Amen. We do things. You got to be careful because money can affect the way people act and the way they do. There are a lot of folks got money think they're better than everybody else. Money don't make you better than anybody else. It may make you richer than somebody else, but still somebody that might not have near as much money as you, a whole lot better person than you are. Come on, money's not the thing that should be driving us. We need to understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's the thing that ought to be driving us. But at the same time, we make sure that we handle money here the right way. We have at least two people counting. That makes them, that way you have somebody that's accountable. Amen. It's all written down. Matter of fact, our records here are, man, they're on paper, they're on computer. We should make sure that we keep meticulous records to make sure that everything's above board. Listen, I was taught this when we first started the church. We went to tax classes. One of the things they told us was, God can't bless a mess. Amen. You know. You go to some places and somebody walks in and they have a need and they just take up an offering and reach them money. Well, you know that's against the law. What? Every dime that comes in is supposed to be counted and accounted for. That got quiet. Amen. It's truth. Okay? So when you start looking at these things and understand, you have to be careful that money is not your driving factor. It's good to have money. How many knows having money is a good thing? Yeah. You know, and I tell everybody, if you're going to work a job, work the job that pays you the most money. Right? Because that's what you're working for, right? Come on, if you didn't get paid, you probably wouldn't go to work, would you? Amen. Somebody asked me about a promotion not long ago. Said they would, you know, they was considering. I said, hey, if you're going to work, you work at that kind of job, make the most money you can make at it. Come on. Well, I don't want the responsibility. Well, you've got responsibility on you anyway. Just go ahead and let God pay you more. Let Him bless you. Ask Him to bless you. Ask Him to show you how to take care of those responsibilities. Amen. But don't let money be the deciding factor. Amen. If money is going to take you away from God, then you have to consider that. Don't let money be the thing that drives you. In the Bible, you know, we study and we read about Judas. Well, Judas sold Jesus out for money. Amen. Let me give you a scripture. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 and 15 says this. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest, and he said to them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver you unto him," or him unto you. And they convened with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Think about that one for just a minute. 1 Timothy says this, "For the love of money," this is 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Notice the love of money. A lot of folks, you know, that try to be real spiritual or whatever, they'll say money is the root of all. Money's not evil. Come on, money's not evil. Another place in the Bible says money answereth all things. You have to have money in this world. It's your trading commodity. Amen. During Bible times, a lot of times it was grain and that kind of stuff. or some kind of livestock, that kind of thing. That was kind of the trade. That was kind of the currency. But now you have to have money in this world. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with you having money. Quit paying attention to these people that think that God wants you broke, you know, busted and disgusted. Come on, just barely getting by. That's humility, and you're, you know, then you're godly. That doesn't make you any more. No, it just makes you broke. Makes you to where you can't help in the kingdom of God because you don't have nothing to help with. Need help yourself a lot of times. Amen. Now, God wants you blessed. He wants you above only, not beneath. He wants you to be the lenderer, not the borrower. The head, not the tail, right? I'm giving you scripture. Come on now. He wants to pour money out to you to where you don't have enough. Enough places to store it. It's more than enough. That's how God wants to bless you. Now, here's the thing. See, I know that the Bible talks about a rich person. Woe to the riches, you know, that trust in their riches. I understand that. But see, here's the thing. You don't have to be a wealthy person to be somebody that trusts in riches. Come on now. You can be working a minimum wage job, and if you're taking God's money and keeping it for yourself, then you're doing wrong with your money. You're considering yourself a rich person now because you're taking what belongs to somebody else, keeping it for yourself. It's getting quiet now. I'm talking about being careful about chasing after money. You say, well, yeah, but now, Pastor, you know, people, they got to have their money. And I understand, I don't know how anybody that's on a fixed income right now is surviving hardly. We understand that how things are. You know, things that, you know, it's doubled just about. And I get that. But here's the thing. That doesn't change the fact that you've got to give God His part so He can bless you. You say, yeah, but now, you know, listen, let me just get, I'll move on, but I just want to talk about this because, you know, it's amazing that in church people are afraid to talk about money in church. And it's because people don't like to hear about money, and especially preachers won't preach on money because they don't give money. Did you hear what I said? Come on. I was tithing before I had any money, and I got a little money now. I'm still tithing, and I'm expecting to get a lot of money. I'm going to continue to tithe. Amen. You know, Jesus is standing, and He's standing where He can watch people give. Think about that now. Jesus is standing watching people give. Jesus don't care about money. Well, why is He watching people give for? And He's sitting there and He's watching people come up and give. And He's with His disciples and He turns and makes a comment about it. He says, see that little widow there? She just gave all she had. Now, okay, come on now. Let's get over where Jesus is at. He said the rest of them have been given out of their abundance. They're blessed. They've got plenty of money. And they've been given because they've got plenty. The little widow, she gave everything she had. Everything she had because she gave out of her need. Now listen to me. Everything she had. Now I'm not telling you to give everything you have. Please don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what Jesus said. Okay. Here's the thing. Because she gave out of her need and gave everything she had, her gift was greater than those that gave out of abundance. And see, the mindset would be, oh, don't let that poor little woman give what money she's got. That's all she's got. She'll starve to death. Jesus didn't go over and say, honey, oh, no, you don't have to do that. These other people that had money, they gave, so you don't have to. No, Jesus stood right there and let her do what she was supposed to do, because he knew he was going to bless her. Because the Word had declared that she would be blessed for her giving. Come on. That's why he was preaching, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Jesus was practicing what he preached. If she didn't sow seed, if she didn't give anything, then she couldn't get nothing back to be blessed. Amen. Now, I know that's not popular with most folks because they, you know, when it comes to money, that's, you want to see whether or not some Jesus has got somebody's heart, see if he's got their billfold. Amen. It's real quiet in here this morning. But see, we're talking about a touchy subject. Come on. See, the Bible says God loves a what giver? Cheerful giver. Some of you ought to smile. Put a smile on your face if you're givers. Most of this church is givers. You ought to put I'm just teaching this for somebody maybe don't know. I know you all already know. But you can't let money be your driving factor. I've heard people say things like this. Well, now, Pastor, I just play the lottery so that I can win and give money to the church. You lying dog. You like to play the lottery. You want to take a chance. You think that you want to make that your source. God's your source. Not the lottery. I had somebody ask me one time, Pastor, what would you do if somebody brought you some lottery tickets? I'd see if there's either one a winner. Yeah, well, you mean you do? Well, what's the difference? I didn't pay for them. I didn't gamble to get them. But, you know, I'm going to just tell you. Listen, people are so ridiculous when it comes to money. I've heard people talk about when I would. And churches have turned down. Somebody tried to make a donation because they didn't live the lifestyle they thought they lived or whatever. They turned the money down. Well, I'm not taking that dirty money. You kidding me? The money's not dirty. The person that did might not be necessarily up in that, but you can take the money and use it for the kingdom of God. Amen. See, you have to look at this. Wow. You know, it's just kind of this holier than thou thing that people have where they, you know, strain on a gnat and swallow a camel. Amen. You know, people that talk about, you know, their money and then, well, you know, I don't love money. Well, you're not working 80 hours a week for nothing. You want money. Just don't make, here's the whole point about the love of money. Don't put your money before God. Don't put your things before God. Let God be first. Amen. I've told you all about this. When I was learning a lot of this, you know, I just started learning to tithe and that kind of thing. Wanted to make sure I was dotting every I, crossing every T with God, you know, and just getting to these principles. And Pastor Etten and I had a work job and I was now laid off and really didn't have much money at all, you know. But we were making it, we were living, and you know. And I was talking to God about, you know, I said, God, I'd like to be able to get back to work making good money. I'd like to have, you know, be able to just be able to bless you and give you things. And the Lord said, look down the road. And I looked down the road. My mom lived down the road at the time. And beside her house, I had a boat parked down there. It was a boat I'd acquired when we were in business, and it was a nice boat. The trouble is, you can have a nice boat and not have the money to go fishing. Come on, boat owners, you know what it costs to for gas and a boat and truck and whatever, you know. And I'm still talking to God. He says, "Look down the road." I look down the road. What are you talking about, God? I said, "Well, you see down there." I said, "Well, that's Mom's house, my boat." He said, "Your what?" I said, "My boat," and he said, "You can sell your boat." Hey, y'all know. Come on. I'm a fisher. Sell your boat? That just didn't seem like that was in the cards. He said, if you want what you want, sell your boat. And so I sold my boat. You know what? I've never looked back since then. And after that, you know what? Somebody gave me a boat. A Ranger brand boat, if you don't know what boats are. Now, it wasn't a new boat, but it was a nice boat. Amen. I happened to have another boat then. You know what I did? I gave that away. Why? Because you reap what you sow. And God blessed me with another boat. Amen. See, what I'm trying to show you is God's faithful when it comes to money, as long as you don't put money before God. You just let it, if God told me right now, sell the boat you got and give all the money to the church, I would. Please don't do it, God. But if He told me to, I would. I really would. And He knows that. He knows my heart about that. Really does. Because if He told me to do it, man, look out. Something great is getting ready to happen. See, that's what I believe. I believe when God speaks to me about giving in certain instances. Now, the tithe and offering should be, that's a no-brainer. That's in the Word of God. But there's times that God speaks to you about special things. And when He does that and you do it, God will bless you. He will bless you. You'll see it happen. But don't let the money be the thing that drives you. Okay? Something else that drives a lot of people is what other people think about them. You have to be careful that what people think doesn't influence you to do something different than what you know God wants you to do. When David was bringing the ark back into the city, they were rejoicing. They were so happy that the presence of God was finally coming back into Jerusalem. And David, there being the king, brought himself down from being a king. And he became the priest that he was. And the Bible says he had on linen ephod. And he's dancing mightily in the streets before the Lord. And his wife, who was Saul's daughter, if you all know the story of Saul that tried to kill David because he was jealous of him, she's looking down from the upstairs and she sees David down there dancing with the other people and rejoicing. He's the king, you know. He's the king. And as far as his wife, Michael's concerned, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. He's royalty. He's above all those peasants down there. And he's brought himself down to the level of peasants because he's down there dancing with them. And so he dances with them, worships the Lord, blesses them all with food and drink and gifts. And then he comes back up, the Bible says, to bless his own house. And when he gets there, his wife looks at him and says, "You've been making a fool of yourself down there, dancing in front of those little women." I'm paraphrasing. And David says, "It was before the Lord." And he said, "If you think that was something, you ain't seen nothing yet to the way I'll dance before the Lord." And the Bible says she despised him because of it. And because she despised him for dancing before the Lord, she was barren and never did have any kids. So you can't worry about what people think. God's got you. Don't matter what somebody else thinks. No matter what they say. There have been plenty said. It's all lies. So I don't worry about that kind of thing. You see, because when you let those kind of things affect you, it can destroy your life. I'm not going to live my life according to what somebody thinks about me. Amen. Now, I'm going to walk in integrity. The Bible says, you know, if they're talking about you and you deserve it, then you get what you got. I'm paraphrasing again. But it says when they talk about you and you're doing good, don't worry about it. Just keep doing good. Be an example. After a while, they're going to see God's blessing on your life and know that you're blessed of God. So don't let that be the thing that drives you. Well, I want everybody to talk good. Can I tell you something? Everybody not going to talk good about you. I don't care how good you are. They didn't talk about Jesus and He never even sinned. Right? Amen. So that don't mean they're going to talk about you. He said they're going to talk about you. If they've talked about me, Jesus said, they're going to talk about you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Amen. So just live your life for God and let God be first in your life and enjoy your life. Don't worry about what the Joneses are doing. You do what you do. And you do it before the Lord with all your heart. And watch what God does. See, the thing that drives us ought to be our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we ought to be driving toward a better relationship with Him. Driving toward knowing more of His Word. Driving toward a prayer life that when we pray, we know our prayer is going to be answered immediately. Driving to the place that the gifts are operating in us. So when we do lay hands on somebody, we can expect it to happen. Amen. We just talked, the praise team was rejoicing a few minutes ago. I'm not going to say who or what, but I'll say what, but not who. But we were rejoicing earlier because of a praise report we got that we got together with another person came to me and said, listen, I'm believing for this so I can have more time with God and to be able to help. And so I'm believing for this. I want you to agree with me for this promotion. Well, they got the promotion. Why? Because we believe God. Amen. Believe in faith. Well, you see, that's the kind of God we serve. He's a God that when we pray and believe in our heart and don't doubt, right? It's going to come to pass. No doubt about it. Right? Come on now. See, some of you not agreeing with me. You're having a hard time here. You get over in faith and you stand on that. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. It's what Jesus said. Mark 11:23. And if Jesus said it, can't be a lie. Because God can't lie. So how about we just get over and start saying, you know what? I'm going to let the truth of the Word of God be my driving force. And I'm going to let God take me where He wants to take me. Because He wants to. He can take me a lot farther than I can ever imagine, right? Stand to your feet with me. Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You are our driving force, Lord. And I know that there's times that we get sidetracked. I know there's times that we get off and miss the mark. But thank You, Father, for Your forgiveness, Lord, that when we come to You, You'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You'll help us to get back on the track. Father, let us not be mindful of what the world's doing and how they're achieving and the things they achieve. But let us have a heart to achieve for You, Father God. Lord, to be able to do the things that You want us to do for Your kingdom and for Your glory so that Your name will be lifted up. Father, our name means nothing without Your name being attached to it. And so we thank You for that. We just praise You. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, anybody here today that's walked away from You and needs to come back to You, I thank You, God, that today would be that day that they'd say, I'm going to join the Lord today. I'm going to come into the kingdom of God today. I'm going to become a child of God today. I thank You for that and give You praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life, I want to give you an opportunity to come. If you need to rededicate your life, come on. What are you waiting on? Let Jesus be the driving force. Do you know that you're ready for heaven? Do you know that you're born again? If you don't, would you come? Would you come? You can know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to heaven. How many can raise up your hand and say, I know I'm going to heaven? Amen. See, if you can't raise up your hand and say, I know I'm going to heaven, you ought to come right now. Let's pray together. All right, this altar is going to remain open. If you want to come, you come at any time. Anybody needs to pray with you, lay hands on you, believe with you for anything. All right, lift up your hands all over the house. Father, I thank You, bless You, and praise You for every person that's here this morning. I thank You, Father God, that You are their driving force.